number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You're on the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is this what you wanted, America? Is this what you wanted in the NFL playoffs? 1-2, 1-2. Is this what you wanted, the top seeds? This is what you got. And how many Manning-Brady matchups do we have to see before we put this one to bed? This will be the 17th time these two guys have faced off against each other. Five times in the playoffs now as the Denver Broncos beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, coupled with the New England Patriots knocking off the Kansas City Chiefs. And then in the NFC, the fun-loving Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers will take on Arizona. I had a blast this weekend. I hope you did. If you watch these four games, I had a blast. I don't really care about 1-2 top seeds. I don't even look at these as upsets. I don't look at them the way a lot of people look at them. If Seattle had won today, I really wouldn't have lost my mind thinking it was a major upset or whatnot. Because I think there's a lot of equal play by the teams that are left in the playoffs. But nevertheless, I like the teams that are going to the Final Four. I like the teams and how they match up. Pittsburgh was a very, very beat-up football team. We've been talking about this for all week long, about how they were going to be really, really limited in without Roethlisberger's being fully healthy and Antonio Brown being out completely and relying on some other guys to really step up. And they played really well. But you could sense in this game that they were really limited. I mean, they were unable to get touchdowns. They had to settle for field goals. They made some key mistakes. They turned the ball over once, but that once was enough. And in the end, they could not stop the run as the Denver Broncos just kept pounding it and pounding it and pounding it, eating up a lot of the clock in the fourth quarter to get that go-ahead touchdown. And when push came to shove, with the crowd energized and the lead sort of in Denver's hands, Pittsburgh couldn't move the ball down the field enough to get that potential game-tying touchdown. Earlier today, though, we had the Carolina Panthers race out to a 31-0 lead. And like teams who do this a lot, when you have this big lead, things change. You don't come out as high-flying as you once did. You slow down a tick. You try to take some time off the clock. You may call different kind of plays. Things don't work. Execution falters a bit. You're still playing a very good team like they were in Seattle. And the Seahawks came back. And the Seahawks just ran out of time. And the Carolina Panthers moving on. Taking on two teams on Saturday that still provided us some entertaining football, although I'm scratching my head with the Kansas City Chiefs on how the heck they just... Here's the thing about the clock management. Here was the funny thing about the Kansas City Chiefs clock management situation at the end of that game against the Patriots, is that when you're watching it and you realize, does anybody on this team realize that they're down two touchdowns as the clock is just ticking away and they're going into the huddle and they just can't seem to understand the sense of urgency? And then when you stop and go, oh yeah, that's an Andy Reid-led team. I've seen this act before. Nobody who follows this league was really surprised by Andy Reid's team not having a sense of urgency in the last 2 minutes of that game. They had the ball first and goal at the one with 2:33 left, ran one play, a running play that lost 2 yards, and then let the 2 minute warning go. They let 33 seconds go off the clock till the 2 minute warning. No sense of, hey, you know what would be really great if we could get this in the end zone as quickly as possible. And then maybe, I don't know, not have to rely on an onside kick. Maybe we could kick it away. We've got some timeouts. Maybe we could just, you know, force the Patriots to punt and try it again. No. Au contraire. Let's try to use up as much clock as we possibly can before we score our first touchdown. And then have a complete and utter sense of urgency and try a very high-risk onside kick that's probably not going to work. But the Patriots look scary healthy. And we get Manning Brady again. 800-777-2907. The number to join us on the show tonight. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Love to get your thoughts on what you saw this weekend. We haven't even gotten to the Hail Mary for the Green Bay Packers that then resulted in an overtime loss to the Arizona Cardinals. Hey, we want to thank our new affiliate, WQQX 1490 AM in St. Louis. Thank you for being on board with us tonight. 800-777-2907. Your thoughts on the NFL playoffs? I loved it. I really did. I didn't have any problems with really anything this weekend.
I can't complain about a single thing.
I have a friend of mine from Colorado that I've known for years, and he's a sports fan, but he's not a diehard. And he constantly is on Facebook complaining about games, constantly. This game's boring. This game is, I'll be doing something else as this game is boring. And I just wanted to reach out with him and go, can you just hang in the second half of that Carolina-Seattle game for just a little bit, just to make sure that that game isn't completely out of the realm of possibility that the Seahawks couldn't cash in?
Well, it's funny. I was talking to Mike Zalarte, our guest coming up next hour. I text him basically right at the end of the first half, and we had kind of had the decision if the Panthers won, he'd come on tonight. And I was just making sure. I was just like, okay, well, it looks like we're good to go. You know, this game's kind of over, you know, so you're good for tonight. And he told me on the phone, he's like, I didn't even want to text you back because I know what this team does. He's like, I've seen it too many times that they let teams back in. And he knew it. He knew it was going to happen.
You know, and it's funny because, if Carolina had scored right off the bat, I said, okay, you could close that out. But when Seattle scored and then got the ball back,
so
I was like,
fast how they scored.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. Let me just hang with this for a little bit. Listen, a 31-0 lead at halftime is technically a 5-possession game. You could see with 4 touchdowns and 2-point conversions. But the reality of it is, it's a 5-possession game. Still, the Seahawks can attack and attack hard. And you just never know where the ball bounces. So I told my buddy, I'm like, just hang with the Carolina game. Just taking a risk. You know, it's 31-0. He wouldn't do it. He would not do it. He did watch the Bronco game and then complained about the quality of play by the Broncos, saying, well, this wasn't very pretty. I go, listen, you want pretty? Go, you want style points? Watch college football. This in the postseason, if you just get a win, I don't care if you crawl on glass to get the win. You just get the win. You don't have to look gorgeous doing it. You don't have to put up massive statistical numbers. Just get the win and then figure out what your problem is during the week and try to resolve it. That's the one thing that you have to know about playoff football is you really do get the best. Your chances are you're going to get the best from the teams you're playing. The Green Bay Packers got spanked the last time they played Arizona. I mean, just drilled the last time they played Arizona. And it really shouldn't have been that much of a surprise when the Packers were giving themselves a good puncher's chance in that game against the Cardinals. That's how the NFL works. Yeah, it's not college football. It's not East Carolina against Alabama 100 times out of 100 times. Things are different. Changes are made. Everybody watches film. Everybody makes adjustments. Packers gave themselves a fighting chance. That Packers-Arizona game was as I have never been on a better roller coaster with it, with two teams I couldn't have cared less about in my life than watching that game Saturday night. I was thankful that I was up watching that game because I was sitting there going, this is really, really fun. And then when he threw the Hail Mary, I went, as the ball's in the air, I go, I bet you that gets caught. I told my wife, I said, I bet you that gets caught. Then I start screaming that it got caught. It was that fun.
Being a Bears fan, I hated that. I could not have luck. There was nothing just, more. When he completed that 4th and 20 from the 2.
Oh, I know.
I was just like, I knew he was scoring a touchdown. No matter how it happened, I didn't know how it happened, but I knew he was scoring a touchdown once he made that throw.
All right, so we've got Patriots and Broncos, and I hope the Broncos come out with a better sense of urgency in that game than they did against Pittsburgh. They seemed really flat today, really, really flat. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they'll be fired up. The Patriots are healthy.
Scary.
They looked really good. I mean, really good. And I'm gonna have to say this because people throw out a lot of statistics and numbers and all of those things. And sometimes these numbers, we hear them and we don't really process what these actually mean. In Tom Brady's case, I want you to hear this and let it sink in for a little bit. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, since the 2001 season when he took over, are now going to their 10th AFC title game in 14 seasons.
It's disgusting.
What in the world of longevity can we possibly relate that to? They have taken almost everybody's best shot. Quarterbacks have come and gone. Coaches have come and gone. 10 AFC title games in 14 years they're in. We'll talk about the Denver Broncos and the Steeler game next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, full disclosure for those of you who are maybe listening for the first time, I am a Steeler fan. I grew up as a Steeler fan, and so today I watched the game today as a fan. But I always try to bring you the analytical side, as if I don't have a dog in the fight. That's why I try to bring you a journalistic slant to the game. So, talking about the Steelers today, I will try to do that without the uber craziness that comes from people who watch games with passion. But before we do that, 800-777-2907, let's start the conversation with Rob in Wisconsin. You're first up on Yahoo Sports Radio. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, man. What's on your mind?
So, in the beginning of the season, I picked Pittsburgh Steelers, Green Bay Packers Super Bowl. Obviously, I'm a Packer fan.
Okay.
Crappy way to lose for us, but
yeah,
there is no way that a healthy Pittsburgh team doesn't make it to the Super Bowl this year.
I agree. I agree completely. I thought that going into the playoffs, so that's why the Cincinnati game hurt so badly. To see the Bengals were able to really decimate what the Steelers are capable of doing. And it's not just saying, here's a wide receiver, just go get some catches that Antonio Brown would get. What he does, what he allows the Steelers offense to do when he's just running routes is extremely important.
Yeah, I thought, you know, in the beginning of the season, everybody was talking about how your defense was so young and inexperienced. And granted, you guys are getting young, finally. It took you guys forever, but Ryan Shazier's a stud back there, man.
Yeah, certainly
is. He makes that defense just a lot better than it should be, honestly, to me, in my eyes.
It's been a slow collection of really young talent that's been really growing and blossoming, and it's good to see that it's starting to come to fruition, because I thought they played pretty good today. I thought they, you know, they got worn down at the end by a running attack and whatnot, but boy, they really, even Peyton Manning said at the end of the game, they confused them, they had different looks, they came at different angles, they really were able to you know, clamp down on the short wide. They knew Manning couldn't throw it 30, 40 yards down the field. So they had that, advantage, but still they were able to mix some things up defensively and confuse Denver a lot in this game.
Right. Right. And one more thing, do you think the lack of Adam Gase going after certain coaches, do you think that maybe your defensive coordinator and your offensive coordinator might be up for grabs for Adam Gase?
Could be, Miami? Could be. I'm not 100% sure about. I know Haley has been kind of always in the rumor mill for different things, but that's a possibility. Rob, I really appreciate the call. Thank you so much as always. 800-777-2907. All right. So this game with the Broncos. First of all, let me say this from the Denver point of view. Manning didn't look like the typical Peyton Manning that we've kind of known and loved. But if you've been following this season closely, that you knew that that wasn't the Peyton Manning you've been getting all year. However, this is really the first time we've seen Manning from what they said was fully healthy. He had been pretty much injured the whole year, even though nobody really wanted to come out and admit it. Pretty much from week one, he'd been dealing with a variety of injuries. So the Manning that had the massive amount of turnovers, the bad interceptions, the bad throws that were just fluttering in the air with no place to land, that Peyton Manning was supposed to be gone. Now, what Manning were we going to get in this game? Well, I didn't think we were going to get the gunslinging Peyton Manning anymore. We were still going to get a Manning that, you know, it didn't look the same, could be effective, but wasn't going to be the super threat that he'd been in years. But let me say this. I know it's frustrating if you're a Broncos fan to watch that game and to see an offense that was so stagnant at times, really not doing anything, conservative play calling, a couple of three and outs, bad throws, you know, Manning drop passes, balls that sort of still fluttered around. And I know there was some people, not all, on Twitter that were kind of wondering if it was Osweiler's time. Well, Osweiler was dealing with his own injury. But this game wasn't won by the arm strength of Peyton Manning. It wasn't won by the ability to zip it around that field. It was won by his intelligence as a football quarterback. It was won in the fourth quarter when they really needed a guy that could take a snapshot of everything the Steelers were bringing the entire game and then analyze that properly in the fourth quarter when they needed to move the ball downfield. Listen, I'm watching the game as a fan, okay? But again, I'm taking notes and I'm trying to process this whole game so I could bring you the analysis of this game. The Steeler turnover, I didn't think was a huge deal at the time because the defense was playing well that I thought you just make a few plays. You've been slowing down this offense. You've been getting a couple of three and outs. Manning converts a huge third and 12 that keeps the drive alive. But there are two things about that drive that hurt the Steelers in the end. One, it took up a tremendous amount of time, for them to march down the field and score the touchdown. That ate up clock. And second thing was Manning called off a lot of plays, changed them to runs based on the looks the Steelers were doing. I don't think Osweiler does that at all. I don't think Osweiler is capable yet with his kind of experience to be taking mental snapshots throughout the game. And that's what Manning does. Manning will see something, you know, first and 10 right off the bat, our ball, first and 10. He looks, sees this defense, they do this. Snapshot, snapshot, snapshot. And he's double checking that constantly. And I don't think Osweiler is at that point where he's capable of just processing that many looks and that much analysis of looks throughout the game. For the Steelers, the turnover was not the key. I know people want to automatically point to the turnover. The turnover is the key because it led to the touchdown. The Steelers had plenty of opportunities to calm that down, to slow that down, but they didn't. That wasn't a turnover that immediately led to a touchdown. That was a turnover that led to a touchdown through a long series of defensive lapses and mistakes and inability to stop the run. I thought the key to this game for Denver was when the Steelers, controlling the ball as they had done at times, had the ball at the 26, 27 yard line. This would be around the time in the transition between the third quarter and the fourth quarter. The Steelers had the ball first down at the Denver, I want to say 26, and through a series of sacks, whatnot, had backed up. And then on fourth down, didn't elect to kick a 55-yard field goal and elected to punt. Now, I'll go back and forth on the field goal decision all day because both sides have valid arguments. You miss that, you really set up the Broncos. You make that, it's hard. It was windy. It's at Denver, but it's at altitude. Right? It's give Boswell a chance to go out and kick that. But it shouldn't have come to that. The Steelers made too many mistakes that made a first down at the 27, you know, backing them up enough times where it's a 55-yard field goal to start processing a punt. At that moment, I thought this game is getting away. Now here's the only time I'm going to bring a fan perspective into this analysis. As a fan, I never felt comfortable this whole game. Never. I never felt the Steelers were really going to win this. Because I knew that a lot of things had to go their way. They had to play exceptional defense for 60 minutes. And the offense just didn't seem to be pulling away. They had big plays that they couldn't convert into major points. I wanted so bad for the double possession lead that I never got. I never got a lead that was two possessions. I would have felt a lot better if it had happened. I never did. Broncos kept settling for field goals. Every Bronco fan on Twitter was complaining about it. And I said, no, this is what this game is. I'm sorry you're not scoring five touchdowns, but this is what this game is going to be. You've just put yourself in a chance to win this game. Now go win it. And they did. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio.
and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue our look at the weekend of the NFL, including the games on Sunday. And now we are all set. We're down to the Final Four in the NFL. Frank Schwab, shutdown corner at Yahoo Sports, comes on to join us to go over the games. How are you, my man?
You know, so many people think this is the best NFL weekend out of the year, maybe the best weekend of sports out of the year. And my goodness, it might have been this time. This is what an unbelievable set of games and what an unbelievable set of storylines we have going into the next weekend.
Let's start with Denver, because I know the Broncos struggled, and I know that Peyton Manning, he didn't look like Peyton Manning that we know. But how much of this game was won because Peyton Manning is the smartest quarterback around?
Yeah, that definitely helped. There's no question about that. And I just think back, and I've written about it, I wrote about it a couple times, for Shutdown Corner, just about that 31-yard pass he made to Benny Logan. It's 3rd and 12, fourth quarter. They haven't done anything to that point. There's 8:30 left, and he delivers, I don't know how many 95-mile-an-hour fastballs he has left in his arm, but he saved one bullet for right there. And he knew where to go with the ball. I talked about, yeah, I was here at the game. I talked to Benny Logan after the game. And Peyton talked about it a little bit. And it was just one of those where you knew he understood exactly where to go with the ball. He knew exactly what coverage they were going to get. He knew exactly when that route would be open, and he summoned up the physical skill to get it there. And I just think that, he is not a guy who's going to throw for 400 yards again. I think he threw for 400 last time they played the Patriots here in the AFC Championship game, or close to it. He's not that guy anymore. We all know that. But can he be the guy to make a couple plays like that Benny Logan play? Yeah, he might be. And if this defense plays really, really well and his receivers don't drop the ball and they can run it a little bit, crazier things have happened. They're going to be at home. They beat the Patriots before. And what a story this would be if he can finish it. But I thought, Peyton didn't play great, but he that's not who he is anymore. But in his role, I thought he played just fine.
For the Steelers, the turnover obviously killed them, but if they make the stop on third down, then that's all for naught. But where I thought the Steelers, where I felt very uncomfortable for them, is when they had the ball between the third and fourth quarter, when they had the ball at the 26, 27-yard line, backed up a few spots for penalties and sacks and whatnot, and ended up punting. I thought that moment, you've got to get points there or you're not going to win this game.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I didn't really like the decision to kick the field goal. And I guess what's the best option there? It's really a long shot to go for it. It's with the wind the way it was. It was a long shot to kick the 51-yard field goal there. But I just hated punting there on the 34-yard line. And you're right. How do you screw up that drive? You're right there. You're about ready to really put the Broncos behind the eight ball, and then you just kind of move backwards and give it up. You're right. I thought the game changed as much in that sequence as it did with the Tucson fumble with Briley Roby punching it out.
All right. Earlier, the Carolina Panthers were leading 31-0. Seattle comes back, takes all the chances they can to get back into this game. Look, I hear this all the time when teams are up big. They go, we're not going to take the foot off the gas. They always take the foot off the gas. But is there anything about that second half would concern you about the way Carolina was so just not being able to close this game out?
Yes and no. I do think that, look, and we're all humans. When it's 31-0, you go into halftime at 31-0, how can you not let down a little bit? In the entire 96-year history of the NFL, only one team has pulled off a 31-point comeback. And so, I hate to overreact to the Seahawks coming back. Also, hey, I want to give the Seahawks some credit. The Seahawks would have folded their tent at that point, but knowing, again, that only one team has done that and come back. But they played, they had the heart of a champion in the second half. And I just thought it was a good team getting on a roll a little bit. A Carolina team went in a shell a little bit with such a big lead. So I don't want to take too much out of it. I don't want to discredit Carolina too much because they played so great in the first half. But you do wonder, are there certain things that Seattle showed as far as pushing the ball downfield that Carson Palmer and the Cardinals can take a hold to take from that? You wonder about that. But at the end of the day, I still think this Carolina team beat a really, really, really good champion in the Seattle Seahawks, and I just tip my hat to them. I thought that they put themselves in a position to be able to withstand that big comeback in the second half.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, Shutdown Corner, joins us, and we go over the weekend's games in the NFL. All right, so New England beats Kansas City in the first game on Saturday, and we can talk all about the Patriots, but kind of the same stuff. Kansas City, I am still perplexed as to what in the world did the Chiefs thought that they were down by three and not two scores in that final drive? It took forever, and I kept going, this is like Super Bowl 39. Oh, by the way, he's coached by the same guy.
The same exact guy. And they're just bleeding the clock like they're trying to run it out. It's like they led almost, huddling up with a minute and a half to go and the clock's running. Why is this such a problem for Andy Reid? Why? It wasn't just like this one Super Bowl that happened years ago, and then this is the first time we've heard about it since then with his clock management. This something pops up two or three times a year. You'd think that for as good of a coach as Andy Reid is, and he's a fantastic coach, he's just got this blind spot for clock management. It's fairly unbelievable.
Frank, the Arizona game I thought was a blast to watch. I had such a good time watching with the Hail Mary and everything. It was as good of a game, and it was just fun to sit back and be a fan. Arizona, though, I mean, look, we've seen teams in the playoffs have a bad game or quarterback has a bad game, and it does not carry over. They kind of regroup. But Carson Palmer did not look really good. Is that a concern for Arizona, do you think, when they go play Carolina?
I hate to overreact, but you're right.
Yeah.
He didn't look good. And I'm not a guy who believes a huge amount in the playoff experience. I'm not a guy who thinks if you don't have a playoff experience, you're going to struggle. But then a game like that happens, and you wonder. I mean, this was Carson Palmer's really his second playoff game in his career, because if you remember, one of the other two, he got hurt on his first throw.
Right.
And he just looked like a guy who felt a little bit of pressure, right? Like, he made throws I haven't seen him make all year. The one into the end zone that got picked off, it's like, who is this guy? Because that's not Carson Palmer. I haven't seen that guy at all this year. And then, but, you know, the thing that really kind of makes me worry is, go back to Week 17, and the Cardinals got blasted in that game. This is two in a row for them that they haven't played really well. They didn't, you know, the Packers are down to their fourth, fifth, and sixth receivers, really, you know, and they hadn't been playing well, and they still almost pulled that game off. So I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are going into Carolina on a high note by any means. That doesn't mean things can't change. Doesn't mean they won't match up really well. Doesn't mean Bruce Arians won't have a heck of a game plan, because he will. But there's a little bit of concern. Yes, I can't tell you I feel the same way about the Arizona Cardinals today as I did at the beginning of the weekend.
As far as the Patriots go, and again, they were down so many guys late in the season, one of the reasons they lost 4 out of 6. Did they look at full strength to you? Did they look ready to just be the same Patriots we know?
You know, the one thing that I do worry about with them is their absolute lack of a running game. And I'm not one of these people who believes you need to run the ball to win a championship. In fact, I believe the exact opposite. I don't think that that's necessary. But there's some times in the game when you want some balance. I mean, you at least want the threat of that. And they threw, boy, was it 21 of their first 22 pass plays. They had pass plays. And, you know, at one point they had 4 runs by their running backs and 4 runs by Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. It was incredible how unbalanced they were. Maybe that was a game plan, but I don't know if you can come in and play Denver and be totally one-dimensional, especially with this pass rush Denver has. If anyone can do it, it's Brady, but it's still concerning. And at some point, the Chiefs are just throwing out 7 defensive backs, so they absolutely know you're not going to run the ball. That's what really worries me yet with the Patriots and their injury concerns. It's just they're so thin at running back that I don't know how you can really come in one-dimensional against Denver and win. It's going to make it a lot harder.
Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. Always great talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much, as always.
Yeah, man, I can't wait till next weekend. Should be another fun set of games.
It absolutely should be. So 800-777-2907. You want to get into the conversation. Again, we hooked up with Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports Shutdown Corner. Your thoughts on what we saw this weekend. A lot of things to get to. I mean, a lot of nooks and crannies in this game. I mean, look at the way the Carolina Panthers, for example, race out to this 31-0 lead. Listen, here's what everybody was saying, right? Well, I heard Troy Aikman say this. I'm not really surprised Seattle is able to make this comeback. Phil Simms said the exact same thing. If there's a team that can make that kind of comeback, I'm not surprised it was Seattle. All right. I may be the only one in America. I was surprised because teams don't come back from 31-0 down. They almost got this game tied. They almost got this game somewhat scary for the Carolina Panthers. I was a little surprised because even good teams aren't capable of that kind of comeback. Seattle was able to pull this off, but if Carolina gets a field goal, just one field goal or one touchdown, at some point they put this game away. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D,
on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Want to thank those of you listening on WQQX 1490 in St. Louis, our newest affiliate here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome to the Overnight Family. I am Tony D, taking you through the night tonight. 800-777-2907. Talking NFL playoffs. We're now got the Final Four, and it includes, once again, the New England Patriots. It also includes Peyton Manning. Manning Brady, one more time. Let's go to James in Indiana. What's on your mind, James?
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
No, not too good.
What's on your mind tonight?
No. Kind of got some family matters going on. But
sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. But I do want to talk NFL.
All right.
One of my fellow sports radio buddies, I suggested to him that the NFL ought to go the NCAA's way with overtime.
Right.
And he said, "You are nuts."
Now, give me the reason why he told you you were nuts, because I will tell you why you're nuts.
Okay. Because he says it's all about the money.
What do you mean? What does he mean by that?
Well, you know how these playoff games can go on and on and on under the current NFL rules.
Right.
Compared to the college games where both teams get a chance.
Well,
over and over and over again.
I think the NFL just didn't want to get gimmicky in their overtime. And what the college college is, you may love it, but it's gimmicky. All right? Look,
yeah.
I don't follow the NHL, but I have friends who love the NHL, but I have some friends that love the shootout, and I have some friends who say, "You know, that unfortunately that's just too gimmicky for me. It's kind of neat and it's kind of fun, but it is outside the game." And I think the NFL is saying, look, we just don't want to create a thing where we're creating a different game within the game. And that is what college does, is a different game within the game. Each team gets the ball at the 20-something yard line. And
25.
25, and then you got to score, and then you got to answer the other guy, and that becomes a kind of a different game. What they did was say, look, we're going to continue to play like we normally do, but we don't like how this was sudden death. We didn't like that because it seemed to us that as kickers are as good as they are, that just simply kicking a football through the uprights from 50 yards out or whatever is just not exciting enough. So we kind of created this thing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and Adam, correct me if you know, if I'm not mistaken, the NFL, this format that they had used, that they're using now, was in the playoffs first, and then regular season.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure you're correct.
Sounds familiar to me. I'm not 100% sure, but I remember when the Steelers lost to Tim Tebow in the playoffs years ago, and I remember going, wait, no, we have to get the ball back. But what they're basically saying is, we want something that's not gimmicky, the way we feel is legit. And I know people are saying, look, Aaron Rodgers didn't get the ball, it doesn't seem fair. Well, you know what? Don't let the other team march down the field and score a touchdown. And then Aaron Rodgers would have gotten the ball back.
Yeah, don't let Larry Fitzgerald run forever.
Right. And I got to be honest with you. In almost, I don't want to put a percentage on it, because that would just be me guessing. But a really, really high percentage. If you did that all over again, a very high percentage Aaron Rodgers is going to get the ball again. In most cases, Arizona is not going to take the opening possession and score a touchdown. Most teams do not take the opening possession down for a touchdown. So the other team does get a chance to do it. And you know what? When they do get a chance to do it, all they have to do is kick a field goal to win the game. I think what the NFL was trying to avoid, because here's what people want to know. It's like, well, why can't the other team, you know, get a chance and make it like college? Have you ever seen a really good college overtime? It lasts forever. And I don't think the NFL wants regular season games to end like that. And I don't think the Players Association wants regular season games to end like that, where you could be back and forth and back and forth all day. Some college games go into five overtimes. In the NFL, that's what they're worried. They're worried that, hey, look, it could get really ridiculous. And we can't have players are already beat up. They're already banged up. They're already getting injured. Every contact, every line of scrimmage battle is important to us. We don't want to add any more that are unnecessary. And I think they've tweaked this enough to say these games will mostly end reasonably, but be somewhat fair.
I would guess it's somewhere, because a study that was done of the overtime since 1974 with the old style and then a little bit with the new style, each team got the ball at least 72% of the time. So you would guess that was with kicking a field goal, end of the game. It didn't matter. First points won. Now, if you kick a field goal, the other team gets the ball. So I'm guessing it would go back up to right around 75, 76, yeah, somewhere in there.
I agree. I know the pain, man. I know, James, I know the pain. It does stink when you get a game like that, and especially when Aaron Rodgers throws a Hail Mary and he cannot answer in overtime. He cannot answer the failure of his defense in overtime. It stinks. I totally agree. But when you do take a step back, I don't know. I mean, I would love for a playoff game to last forever, but I understand where the union would come from going, hey, listen, we want to keep it consistent from regular season to playoffs. If you don't do it in the regular season, we don't want to do it in the playoffs. So this seems more reasonable, doing it this way. Could it be tweaked? It could be tweaked. It could be tweaked. You know, maybe allow the team to have a possession and say touchdown or nothing, and that's it. But college, no, I don't know if I want to go college route. Yahoo Sports Radio.